Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, KALW's news director, asking for your support in KALW's spring membership campaign. Go to KALW.org and click Donate Now. We appreciate it.
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Jen Cheehan, in for Hannah Baba. First up today, we have a story from KALW's collaboration with our partner, Oakland Voices, a community journalism training program run in collaboration with the East Bay Times and Maynard Institute for Journalism Education. It gives East Bay residents a chance to tell the stories of their own neighborhoods. Just last weekend, KALW's Sights and Sounds, our arts coverage project, which I lead and host, put on a live event in East Oakland in conjunction with Oakland Voices, and this story you're about to hear was performed on stage. And if you were unlucky enough to miss that, here's the radio version. Hip-hop music originally captured the spirit of a generation that was young in the 80s. That generation and others that came after it are not so young anymore, but many of hip-hop's founders aren't ready to call it quits. So, can a musical genre age with the people who make it, or does it stay rooted with the demographic who initially consumed it? We sent Oakland Voices reporter Tony DaKeepa to ask a hip-hop veteran.
I'm walking down a garbage-strewn, graffiti-covered alley near the train tracks in Oakland's San Antonio district. I'm here to meet up with a veteran Oakland rapper and beatmaker to see how he plies his craft.
My name is Tahaj Edwards, otherwise known as Tahaj the First. I am a producer and MC and record label owner.
Edwards calls his workspace the Drum Dealership. It's home to Drum Dealer Music, his recording studio, record label, and artist development agency.
I like to use old equipment and old gear when I can to create music that sounds, for lack of a better term, vintage, versus using After Effects or things in a computer that make things that kind of, you know, falsely create that sound, which is cool too. I'm not mad at that, but I like to do it this way.
An eclectic collection of vinyl records covers an entire wall of the studio. In front of the records, Edwards stores 14 vintage Casio and Yamaha synthesizers from the 70s and 80s. He also has a collection of vintage sampling machines that he uses, but these keyboards are what really form the core of Edwards' sound as a producer.
Most of these have some analog component to them that when you just turn it on, it's like, you know, it exhales when you turn it on, you know what I mean? And that's always in the background in all of your recordings, you know, all that air, you know, including the room noise of your recording. So
there's a DX synthesizer,
which is kind of like the synth sound that you hear on just about all your 80s pop music, you know, Van Halen's Jump. That's a DX7.
There's also a Yamaha keyboard that he uses in almost everything he produces.
It's got a lot of cool, like, little sparkly sounds and, you know, little spaceship noises and just kind of cool little additive little touches that we could throw in there. I guess they call them, like, zipper sounds.
Along with those vintage keyboard sounds, Edwards adds in a vintage drum machine from the 90s. And comes up with stuff like this.
I try to take things that are made, you know, maybe in a lo-fi means, but make them sound lush and nice and, you know, sweet to the ear.
Edwards originally gravitated towards hip-hop when he was in the fourth grade. By that time, he already had an interest in political speeches, writings, and poetry.
You know, hip-hop was like, you know, the most, you know, oratory-based form of music ever, so I think it, you know, it fit my inclinations.
He started off reciting other rappers' rhymes, memorizing entire verses as early as fifth grade. By high school, he was ready to hit the stage with his own original rhymes.
It's like the dust in a sunbeam, normally unseen, but shine a light on.
Edwards has made a lot of music throughout his career, but his most important production is his 9-year-old daughter, Lula. Back home at his apartment in Oakland's Fruitvale district, Edwards needs to make dinner for Lula before we can continue our interview. Tonight's dinner? tofu tacos. I ask, does a fourth grader really like tofu?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I want some right now.
Almost a decade into fatherhood, Edward says the experience has affected his music.
It's made me have a need and a desire to make it more economically viable, you know, in real life terms.
He also says that fatherhood has made him more conscious of the misogyny and male chauvinism in music.
It wasn't, before she was born, it wasn't really my jam anyway. But I have a lot less tolerance for it now, as far as music that I make and music that I put out. And music that I choose to consume, you know, I mean, I'm not really trying to hear a whole lot of that kind of talk in my music. Generally, it's hard not to be more aware of the myriad ways in which the world plots against little girls once you have one.
And as for whether or not he is raising his daughter to follow in his footsteps?
Her musical interests, I think, are more in singing. She likes to sing a lot and perform. She's a little bit of a ham, but she's going to learn how to make beats, whether she likes it or not.
Now that he's a hip-hop elder, I want to know, what does Edwards think about the state of modern hip-hop music?
People, you know, hip-hop has a sort of a Peter Pan component built into it, you know what I mean? It's that doesn't permit people to, like, grow up or see themselves as the age that they are, you know?
But the reality is, several generations of hip-hop enthusiasts are now grown up.
Some of us are adults, and the music that we might desire to make, or probably should be making if we aren't, could be considered like adult contemporary hip-hop, you know? Which is kind of a scary thing, I think, for people, because hip-hop implies youth for so many people, the same way rock and roll once implied youth.
Now, he says, ask anyone under 30 about rock and roll,
and they think of probably like old people and old rocker dudes. You know what I mean? Like they've happened, you know, to them, rock and roll is long been a senior citizen, you know, as far as the terminology. So hip hop is now in its middle ages. Hip hop is their parents' music.
Hip hop at middle age? Mom and dad music? Ouch. Where can hip hop go from here then?
I think now, like, there's a point where we're going to start seeing more and more adult rappers that are old enough to have kids and grandkids who don't think that they should just stop rapping. You know what I mean? Like, who don't think they should just retire just because people think that, you know what I mean? Like, no more so than the old men who played blues until they died and Rolling Stones or somewhere touring right now. You know what I mean? Like, these old men, like, you know, nobody tells them to stop ever, but rappers are supposed to retire because it's this weird, you know, youth thing, and that's just not the case.
But thanks to Edwards and many others who have contributed to the evolution of the genre, hip-hop is not necessarily just a youth thing anymore. In Oakland, I'm Tony DeKeepa for Cross Currents.